you. Okay, so today we're going to discuss Yaakov's blessings to Paro. We're gonna discuss the what the it seems like Yaakov blesses Paro twice in Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. The Torah tells us, "Vayave Yosef is Yaakov Aviv." Yosef brings Yaakov his father, Vayamidei Lifnei Paro, and he stands in front of Paro. Vayavarach Yaakov is Paro, and Yaakov blesses Paro. Okay, so he blesses him the first time, and then Torah says, "Vayomer Paro el." Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't share the screen. Sorry. Hold on. You'll take my word for that. Okay. So the Vayomer Paro el Yaakov. Paro says to Yaakov, "Kama yimei shnei chayacha?" You know, how many years of your life? So Yaakov answers like a typical Jew. Vayomer Yaakov Paro. Yaakov says to Paro, "Yimei shnei megurai shloshim ashana." It was 130 years. But then he goes on, "Ma'ad v'ra'im hayu yimei shnei chayai." Oh, it was really difficult. Not so long. Right, you want to live up to 120. He lives up to 130, and not so long, and they are bad. I didn't even live up to the years of my father. My father lived to 180. And then Vayavarach Yaakov es Paro v'yitzim lefnei Paro. And then Yaakov blesses Paro again, and he leaves Paro. Okay. So basically, again, so just to summarize, what you have here is the following: you have Paro, you know, Yaakov comes before Paro. He says a bracha. And the question, first of all, is what's the purpose of the bracha? Paro then expresses personal interest in Yaakov. How old are you? And Yaakov gives the Jewish answer, "I'm feeling terrible. I have a miserable life. I didn't live as long as my father did." So, and the question is like, I don't know, why should Paro care about Yaakov going on about how miserable his life was? Like, what's the relevance of that? And then Yaakov gives Paro another bracha. So I want to try to figure out what's the first bracha and what's the second bracha. So based on your knowledge, anyone has read this story before, some of the Farshim, what are some of these brachas? What do we assume? How is Yaakov blessing Paro? Any thoughts?
Well, the famine was supposed to be 7 years. It only lasted for 2 years. That was the
okay. So we're going to see there's a take. And maybe he blessed him that the famine should end. Okay.
Does he have to bless him just because he's the king?
Okay. So in other words, is it like a nice blessing because he's the king? You know, you bless the king when you see him, and or is there something more significant? Okay. Both are certainly possibilities.
Bless him with long life, maybe. Yes. Okay. How old are you, by the way?
Okay. That's interesting. Sana, you want to say something?
I think he blessed him that the Nile River should always overflow.
Right. So that would be the blessing, sort of to end the famine. So now, is it something specific or just general hello? Okay.
Paro seems interested in his age. Obviously, he looked old. So maybe he's just blessing him with the old age.
Oh, so
he should live on to 120.
You're saying Yaakov blessed Paro. Once Paro heard that he was old, you're saying when Paro asked Yaakov how old he is, so Paro's hinting that he should be that old, I guess. Right. Maybe, right. I mean, it's interesting. We don't know the bracha. We just don't know. And there are two brachos. So like, why does he have to bless him a second time?
Is it all one, maybe?
What?
Is it all one bracha, maybe?
I don't know. Okay. Well,
and so then he interjects in the middle.
Yeah.
It's a medrash which says that Yaakov looked like Yitzchak or Avraham. I forget which one. So when Paro saw him, he said, "You're still alive?"
Oh, I never saw that medrash. That's fascinating. Wow. Okay. He thought he was like Yitzchak?
Yeah,
because
they looked alike.
So how old was this Paro then?
This Paro was at the time of Abimelech and Gror. He was there. Wow.
So he must have been really old. Okay.
So okay. What are you saying that this Paro saw Yitzchak?
Wow, that's wild. Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. So let me share with you a few approaches. Some of what you said, we'll try to put them all in context.
That's not so strange because supposedly Paro was also involved with Yonah. And he remembered what happened years ago.
Right. Okay. Right. Depends so, how, right. Depends how super, like, it depends how unusual you want to make this power hold. You want to make him. All right. Okay. Okay. So let's see what some of the Farshim have to say. So the Rashbam, let's first delve into, Yaakov's explanation to Paro. Okay. The Rashbam and the Ramban essentially say the same thing. Why does Yaakov give the classic Jewish response? My life is miserable. Okay, so Ma'ad V'ra'im, Lefi Shanir Yaakov Einav Zoken Yosir Midash, Shalom Kami Menshinei Chayachav. So apparently, according to Rashbam, once Paro asked him, like, tell me how old you are, because he looked really, really old. Hey, Shivlo Yaakov Ma'adheim, no, I'm not that old. My father was 180. I'm not that old. Aval Ra'im Heim, oh, wow, but they're really difficult years. L'kachani Nir Berecha Zoken Yosir Midash. You think I look really old. I'm not so old after all. I'm only 130. But the reason why I look so old, just because, you know, life has not been so kind with, you know, kind to me. Ramban says something similar. Ramban's like, Lo yadati tamazakein avinu mamusar hushi soni elamel. I don't know what message he's like, what's the reason why our father, you know, our Zakin, Saba, Yaakov, what's the muster? What's the message he's complaining to the king? Why is he saying that my years didn't reach the years of my father? Because maybe, how do you know? He may live longer. How do you know he's not going to live longer? Maybe he will live longer. He says that Yaakov looked, he didn't age well. Uparo tamal ziknu so. Paro was very surprised at how old he was, because most people don't reach that age. Shikvar katsu shnosam, because they weren't so old anymore. Tell me how old you are. I have not seen a person as old as you are. Oz on Yaakov, and so Yaakov responds and he says that he's 130 years. Vayit ma bahem kimad heim. And don't be surprised, because they're actually less than his father, who lived much longer. But because he had a lot of difficulties, he looked much older. That's sort of like one school of thought. Both Ramban and the Rashbam say that Paro thought that seemed to say that Yaakov looks really old, and Yaakov wants to say he's not as old as he thinks. That is one approach. The Radak wants to say that Hayamim Vishanim Shagarti Heina Vehena Adko Hayu Shloshim Achanov Hayu Mat Vroim. I lived 130 years. It was very difficult. Kibat Sarah Yisi Koyim Shechayisi Ad Heina, because I was in sorrow for most of my life. Zeo Shamar Raim. That's why it says Raim. Avo Maat Heach Yada Adayin Kamichya. But in other words, Ra'im Yaakov could say, but Ma'at, how can he say that very few years? How do you know he's going to die soon? Ne'at Saro Shematza'uhu Hergish Bat Mechol Shoh V'yada Ki Lo Yuchal Lichyot Od El Ma'at. Yaakov sensed that he wasn't going to live that much longer because he had a very difficult life. That's the Radak's approach. In other words, again, the Rashbam and the Ramban believe that Yaakov is going to, that Yaakov is just saying why he looks older than he really is. Radak is saying that Yaakov is telling Paro that he's probably going to die soon. And the Kliyakar says that Lefisha who got the Paro, Shekasher Bo Yaakov Hayanis Olaraga, what Sandra said, we can see this is in Rashi, that when it was told to Paro that when Yaakov's coming, the Nile River ascends to his feet, Vaya Paro Samech Azeh Ma'od, Vichashav Shekol Zman Che Yaakov Chai, Yala Nils Raglav La'ola V'yashkes Pnei Adama. So what happened here? Yaakov is ending the famine. Because when Yaakov comes, what happens? The Nile River, you know, extends on all its banks, and therefore the famine is over. And so Paro wants Yaakov to keep on living, because as long as Yaakov's alive, then it's got the famine. There will be no famine. Because Sheroz Yaakov inehu dal v'chachus v'rakos basar kimish v'skenim, and so Paro sees that Yaakov is really old and very weak. So chasha Paro shevadaihu muflag v'ziknav hayom hu omachar yamus. So when Paro asks, "How old are you?" Paro's basically saying, "You're going to die tomorrow because of you, the famine is over. So I want you to live. You know, I want you to live longer." Because why is everyone so happy? Because soon the Nile River is going to return to its place. Okay, shalom kami mechayecha. That's why he wants to know how old he is. Veishiv lo yimei shnei gemurai ma'ad v'rayim. So that's what he says that. That's why he said that my years were less and they were difficult. But the point of Kli Yakar is a fascinating approach by the Kli Yakar, which he's saying that Paro is not asking, not saying, oh, you look so old. You're not so old. Like, tell me, I've never seen someone who's old about you. There was a very specific reason why Paro cared. Not because he cared about Yaakov, but he wanted to make sure he would live so that the miracle of Yaakov, the blessing of Yaakov, would continue. Now that obviously ties into what the brachos are. So if you look in Rashi says in Mem Zayin Zayin Vevarach Yaakov. So this is what Ben wanted to say initially. He wanted to say he she'ela shalom kederach kol hanirim lifnei hamlachim liprakim. Yaakov blessed him. That's what you do. You bless a king when you go see him, like a shalom aleichem.
Okay? Don't you make a brach when we see a king?
Yes. You do. I don't. Again, that was formulated by Chazal in time of the second base of Mikdash. I don't know if Yaakov, that was formalized. Again, I don't know. I don't know the nature, the text of the bracha that Yaakov said. Right. So then in pasuk Yud, by Verach Yaakov, Kedar Kol Niftarim Milifnei Sarim. So you bless him when you go. You bless him when you leave. I believe, Evan, I may be wrong, but I only think that bracha is when you see a king. I don't think there is an official bracha that Chazal made when we leave the king. So this was the two brachos according to Rashi: the bracha when he sees him, the bracha when he leaves it. But now he says, "Uma bracha bercho." What's the bracha that he blessed him? Shiala nilus liraglav. So it was specific. That the Nile River should reach his feet. Lefisha in Eretz Mitzrayim, Shosa Megishamim, Ela Nilus, Obedamashka. There's no rainwater in Egypt, but they're depending on the Nile River that goes up and waters, irrigates the fields. And from Yaakov's Brachan on, Paro would stand by the Nile River, and the river would come to meet him and would water the land. So that's the blessing. So what
backfired later, no?
Maybe. Well, okay, we'll get that in a second. But what do you mean by that? Just speak out what you mean.
Who's God? I'm the God. No?
That you're saying because Paro's the God, you're saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get like so let's think about that. We will get to that in a bit. So during the 7 years of famine, the Nile must not have overflowed regularly. So the bracha is that the Nile River should overflow. And from the time of the blessing of Yaakov, Paro would stand by the Nile River, and the Nile would miraculously overflow. Now, by the way, this blessing contradicts Paro's dream, by the way, that the famine, there's a more practical question. The famine was supposed to last for how long? 7 years. This, at least according to Rashi, in Perek Memzayim Pasuk Yuches says Bashar Hashedi that Yaakov and his family came. Let's go back to the Psukim, right? It says that Yosef took care of his brothers, and in Pasuk Yuches it talks about, you know, they're coming already on the second year. This whole story seems to take place during the second year of the famine.
So how do you explain the end of the parasha then?
Right. Right. In other words, the problem is, it seems that Yaakov comes in the second year, and if he gives a blessing, and then the famine should end, so there are really two questions. What about, it seems that at the end of the parsha, the people sell themselves into slavery in a sense, or they're willing to sell themselves into slavery because Egyptians have no food. And secondly, is this against Yosef's interpretation of the dream? The dream said 7 years. Now it's not 7 years.
Well, the first answer you can answer, it takes a while to cultivate the food.
Mm-hmm.
5 years?
Even it takes a year or two to get everything back going.
Right. And even, by the way, and even more precisely, like in Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Gedal, the Pasuk says, Yosef Yosef Zaviv Esachav Eskol Beis Aviv Lech L'Fiatav. It seems that Yosef is still feeding his family. So it's, you know, is the famine still going on or not?
So, how could the famine have been so terrible that at the end of 1 year they'd be ready to sell themselves into slavery because there's nothing left for them to sell.
The second year, you mean?
Second year. So the second year, everything is gone. The agriculture, the animals.
Right. Everything's gone. Well, everything's gone, or everything go. Well, everything not gone. Everything went to Paro. Right. They sold it all to Paro.
And
for food.
Everything. Yeah.
Look, you're right. The first year. Right, it says, right, in Pasuk Yud Zion, they brought their cattle, and Yosef gave them bread for all their cattle. And then, that year, they said, we can't hire for you. Our money is God, our cattle is God, we only have ourselves and our land. So that's what they offered. So we have to deal with a couple of questions. If indeed, Yaakov ended the famine, so, first of all, does that make Yosef's interpretation, does that make him a fraud? And secondly, it's, you know, did the famine continue? So the Ramban sort of deals with this question a little bit. Ramban says that he cites the Medrash, so he cites one Medrash, one second, that at the beginning here, he says the third line, he cites Rashi, then he says, "V'chein huska v'beishis rabba Rav Yosi brav chanida shtei shadim asa ra'av." The famine was only 2 years. Kevach yard Yaakov vidal b'tzrayim kila kala ha'ra'av. Once Yaakov comes down to Egypt, the famine ends. V'ibasa chazu. When did it return? V'mei yecheskel. There's v'cheskel. V'imkein. Okay, So what that means is that the last 5 years, in the days of Yecheskel, it's based on the Medrash, at the end of the first base of Medrash, that's when it returned. But again, it's a problem. That's a problem because Yosef is going to seem like a fraud. So maybe you could say that the famine lasted 7 years in the rest of the land, outside Egypt. But in Egypt, it stopped. Right? And that's perhaps why he says Yosef had to feed them, right? Because still in Eretz Yisrael, there was still a famine. But here in Egypt, there was no famine. That's sort of like one approach. What he says, the problem is, and then, by the way, there's a Tosefta, about a few lines further down, Varisi Shamba Tosefta, the Sota, Amrav Yossi, came in Shemes Yaakov, Vinu Chazal Rav Liashno. So we have, there's a view in Chazal, according to Kli Yaakov, Paro was correct in his nervousness about Yaakov. That as long as Yaakov was alive, the famine, there was no famine. As soon as Yaakov died, the famine returned for 5 years.
But that's 7 years later.
Whatever. No, 147. Yishmael was 137. Yaakov was 147.
That was 17 years.
Right. I understand. So it was later. So that's sort of like another approach, potentially, that the famine reverted after he died. However, the Rabban then says, Al derech hapshat, Lokat Yosef is called Kesar Nimsa Beretz Mitzrayim, Beretz Kedad, Bechamei Shadim. The simple pshat is that Yosef took all the money during 5 years, Vevio so El Paro, and he brought it to Paro. Kiechi Tochein, Sheyito, Makesar, Mikdam, Sharachas. That's Sadra's question. How is it possible that all the money in Kel we got in 1 year? Avala Kesef, he speak Lahem, Kol Chamei Shadim. The money lasted all 5 years. Kikhein Adover, Bibin Hago Shalom. That's typically what should have happened.
Rabbi, you're referring to 5 years. What 5 years are you referring to?
So, sorry. So, in the psukim, what happens? The psukim tell us that in year one, the Egyptians basically sell their cattle and buy food for their cattle and their money. And after that, the following year, they have no more food. No more cattle and no more money, and then they sell themselves. So the first quote unquote year, it can't be that the money and the cattle are gone in 1 year. So he thinks that lasted 5 years, and then there were still Vachar Shiktama Kesef Siba Shibal Yosef, and then they came to Yosef V'hayazeh b'shara shishis. When they come to Yosef, it's the sixth year of the famine.
Where does he draw this from? Just out of his own mind?
So let's see. Let's read a little more. So we'll see. So he says, V'hayazeh b'shara shishis. That was in the sixth year. He told them just eat it normally, not to be satiated. So basically, there are 2 years where the people Egypt has come to Paro, and so there's the first year and the second year, and basically he says that he collected all the money, and he says that he told them just eat normally, and that year, and he said, he says, I'll take care of you for the coming year, and that year finishes, and then they come to a second year, and they say, we'd like you to buy us and our land for the bread that you can feed us for the seventh year, so I guess he's working backwards. So basically what they say is the following. They say that, listen, this is what we'll do. After, what we'll do is, we will give you the land, and you will be able to get the crops from the land. And they were saying this because they knew that after that year, there would be, the famine would be gone. In other words, he's working backwards, and he's saying the following, that the Egyptians come, here, if you go, let's actually see it over here. So they're saying in Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, they say that the year finished, and they come on the second year, and they say to Yosef, you know, our money is gone, our cattle is gone, all we have left is us and our land, why should we die? Buy us and our land, and we will be slaves to Paro. And there will be seeds, and it'll have, and there'll be crops, and the land will not become waste. So Ramban is making an assumption here, and he's saying, yeah, buy this land for us, because next year, you know, basically next year, it's going to grow. So Ramban understands that this is the seventh year. I don't think it's 100% like has to be like the way Ramban's explaining it, but he's saying that what they're saying is the famine's going to be over next year, so we're giving you the land. And you can get all the crops, and so that's the seventh year. So that's the Shana Hashenis. That's the second year, which is the seventh year. And then Yosef, the year before, said, "I'm going to take care of you. I'll give you bread." You know, basically, they said, "Our money's gone." And then Yosef then for an entire year takes care of them in exchange for their cattle. So therefore, the Rabban says that basically for 5 years. They were buying. It took 5 years for the money to be gone, and then they have 1 year of cattle, and then 1 year, where they agreed to give up their land. That's where the Ramban understands it. Now, again, so basically, you have sort of.
I understand the mechanics of how he did that.
Right.
What I don't understand is where did he dream this up from? Where does he base it on?
Where the Ramban?
The 4 years considered 5 years.
Oh no, because he's saying that. No, what he's saying is, if
a rational point of view that you couldn't have used up all the money.
No, but more than that, he's saying that at the very end, he's basically they're telling Yosef that we're going to give you the land, which will grow next year. Basically, there will be seeds for soon. So, meaning they knew this was the seventh year of the famine. Everyone knew it was the seventh year of the famine. So if you work backwards, so that was the seventh year of the famine where they gave up their land. The sixth year was in exchange for the cattle. And then, presumably, the rest of it, they were buying with money. For that, presumably, was 5 years. There was a famine. Okay. So they were, okay. So, but basically what you basically have, you know, different approaches, you know, in both Rashi and the Ramban. You have this tension between the dream and the bracha. So either the bracha is not to be taken literally, just a hello and goodbye. And the famine was for a full 7 years. That's their shot, like the Ramban, right? It's 7 years of straight famine. Or Yaakov's blessing stops the Yosef's dream. Stops Yosef's interpretation of the dream, or stops Paro's dream. And it continues either after Yaakov's death or at some point in the future. So I want to leave with you, though. Rabbi Bravender has a beautiful pshat of understanding this, and this goes to what Baruch was saying, a little bit maybe. He was saying, is it going to make power look like a god? So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram, Vavarcham v'rachecha, he says, I'm going to bless those who bless you, m'kalecha, or I'm going to curse those who curse you, v'divachu v'cha, I'm sorry, or v'ye bracha, right? He says, and you shall be a bracha. So Hashem, that's the pasuk before that. Hashem tells Avram that v'ye bracha, ha-brachos nesunos b'yadcha, adachshav hayu b'yadi, v'rachdis anem v'esnoch v'oscha, v'mi'achshav atat v'rech atshir tachbots. Rashi says that Hashem said to Avram, I blessed Adam, I blessed Noach, I'm giving you the power of bracha, you can bless other people. Avram's going to be the source of bracha, nobody else. So maybe Paro may have thought that he was the bracha. Because think about it, it was his dream, it was Paro's dream. It was my dream, said Paro, and therefore I'm the source of this bracha. So Yaakov Avinu, representing Am Yisrael, at this point in history, he gives Paro a message. You don't understand. Vayivarech, he's saying, I'm the bracha. You're not the bracha. I'm the bracha. The interpretation of the dream is what's important. Yosef's role is what's important. The purpose of your dream was simply to bring our family down to Egypt. Yaakov comes to Paro, and Vayivarech Osav, so he blesses him. He says, I am the source of bracha. And he says the following, in spite of the fact that ma'ad v'rayim, that my life has not been bracha, right? Yaakov is saying how his years were few and full of bitterness. That's irrelevant. The source, you can't necessarily look at physical, you know, at what happens to me physically. The source of bracha in this world is Avraham, followed by Yitzchak, followed by me. So the way Rabbi Bravender understands is, he says, we have two different stories here. And we have an ideological confrontation. Paro has his own story. Paro thinks that he has the power over history and destiny because it was his dream. And he thinks that the righteous cannot control bracha. And while it's true that there's an up and a down to the bracha, Ma'at V'raim, where Yaakov shot him, the bracha that comes into the world depends on the righteous and not on an accidental event that takes place outside of us. And we see from here, different people can look at the same event and see different things. Paro looked at what happened, and he thinks it's all about Paro. And Yaakov comes to Paro and he says, no, it's all about me. I am the one who is the source of bracha, and it's not you. In other words, I'm the bracha. It's true. My life has been difficult, but that doesn't obscure the fact that really I'm the source of the bracha. So we have three interpretations of what this concept of the bracha is. Hello, goodbye. The bracha as being that he actually stopped the famine, and that presents its own difficulty. You'd have to sort of recalculate, when these 2 years, you'd have to say, by the way, if you say that, then the 2 years when the Egyptians sell their stuff, that would have to be the first 2 years of the famine, right? You'd have to sort of do a little changing of the chronology. And then when the famine returned, so that Yosef was not a fraud, it returns either after Yaakov dies or later on in history, or a Bravender wants to say that the bracha is not a hello, goodbye. It's not necessarily to actually do something. It's to acknowledge that I'm Yaakov Avinu and the source of the bracha. Okay?